And, of course, at 3 o'clock, we'll have the great radio broadcast At Your Age with Dr. Rob Stahl. 5 o'clock, Drive Time Focus. It's 90 degrees on the outside. It's time for At Your Age on AM 1270 WHLD.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl bringing you the only local call-in radio program exclusively for older adults and caregivers. What should you expect at your age? The answer is a lot, and that's what we're here to explain. Today is Monday, July 11, 2005, and welcome to today's show. It's a special day today. What should you expect at your age? Just turn 1 year old. The first show airing July 4th, 2004. This is the 26th show. I can't believe we have 26 shows under the belt. And we hopefully are going to have a lot more to come. You can listen to them all at the website, whatshouldyouexpect.com, all one word except for the dot. This anniversary show is being graciously sponsored by the Visiting Nursing Association of Western New York, providing terrific home care services to many, many people throughout the Western New York area. I have two great guests here today, ready and willing to take your calls. The number to phone with your questions is 855-6848. Feel free to call anytime during the show and ask whatever questions you have. Last month, we discussed senior driving, how to stay safe on the road. If you missed the show, you can hear it on the show's website, which I'll mention again, whatshouldyouexpect.com. If you're not web connected, contact me with the frog in his voice, Dr. Stahl, at 636-7531, and I'd be happy to mail you a CD of the show. The topic for today, home care services. I'm happy to have with me two experts on the topic in the studio. First, I'd like to introduce Mrs. Lisa Greisler, the Nursing Director of the Visiting Nursing Association Home Care Services of Western New York, the head honcho, overseeing the program. Now, Lisa, tell us a little bit about how you happened to get to where you are today.
Well, I'm a registered nurse, and I did my went to school here at the University of Buffalo and also did some acute care in one of the local hospitals. And a friend of mine convinced me to try home care, which I did back in 1981. And I'm happy to say I've been with the Visiting Nursing Association for all those years. Very luckily able to try many different things within my career with the Visiting Nursing Association, including being a liaison nurse, a home health nurse, quality assurance, and for the past 10 years or so of the Director of Clinical Services with the Visiting Nursing Association.
Well, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice, and it sounds like you love what you do.
I really do. It's a fantastic job for nurses and other healthcare providers to be able to take care of people in their own homes and make them independent. It's a really great feeling for people.
I bet you go home and you know you've helped someone.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. I also have Mrs. Marilyn Green. Now, let me get her title right. We talked about it at Spot Coffee just a few minutes ago. The Long-Term Care Resources Manager and Program Manager of Information and Referral and Program Manager of the Telephone Assurance Program of Coordinated Care. Welcome, Marilyn, and tell us about your background and how you developed your interest in senior care and how you happen to end up in the studio today.
Initially, I came from a large family and had elderly grandparents and helped my parents care for them, took care of a mother in my home who had Alzheimer's, and became more and more familiar with both the needs in the community and a desire to work with the senior population, and have worked at two human resource organizations and have been with coordinated care in a variety of capacities for the last 8 years. And it's actually an anniversary for us this year. We've been in business for 25 years. We're going to be celebrating in the fall and are looking forward to that. We provide information and referral to long-term care services to the Western New York community, whether it be a friendly voice on the telephone through our telephone assurance program, which we'll talk a little bit more about later, or just information, guidance to services.
Well, thank you. We're going to also speak with someone over the phone in a few minutes to pull in another aspect of the home care services available locally. Right off the bat, I want to give the contact phone numbers, and I'll let Lisa go first with the contact number for the VNA.
Okay, our main number is 630-8000. That's 630-8000. And when you call in, you'll be able to speak with our switchboard operator or also listen to a menu of referral areas where you can talk to someone about making a referral for home care, for private duty, respiratory, infusion therapy, or lifeline services.
Okay, and Marilyn, what's the main number for you?
Our main number is 858-2307, and if you call the main number, they will transfer you to the correct phone number, whether it's for information referral, TAP, or a referral to the CASA in-home Medicaid program.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now let's start with Lisa. I want to go through the scope of home care services. What can home care do for you? So with that broad question, why don't you hone us in on a few particular important areas?
Okay, well, we're lucky as part of the Visiting Nursing Association of Western New York, which is actually the oldest home care agency in the country. I'd just like to put that in there. We were developed and founded in 1885. We provide, along with other agencies, but we're the only one locally who has two home care agencies. One is a certified division, which covers all of the Medicare-type services, skilled nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, social work, home health aid services, as well as our licensed division, which has an infusion pharmacy. We have an IV team. We have a large respiratory department, personal care, which includes private duty services, and of course our lifeline services. Some of the adjunct things that go along are specialized teams that we have. We have nutrition services, we have certified wound specialists, we have a great pediatric team. Even though I know we're talking about elderly here, we have a wonderful pediatric team. We have a mental health program as well for patients in the home. And all of these services are things that can be provided right in your own home, or if you're living with a family member, or also in an assisted living facility. You're also able to provide services there.
Well, let me ask you that right off the bat. Before home care services became so widespread, what would people have to do that needed the types of services you offer?
Oftentimes, patients were either in the hospital for extended periods of time, they may have gone without services, or used a family member to help provide certain services that they needed. But even though our goal is to try and keep people at home for as long as possible, safely in their own home, people need some education and a little help with that. And that's really where we come in providing either the hands-on care that people need for that short period of time, providing, you know, blood pressure and vital signs and wound care and injections and so forth. But a lot of what we do is educating the patient and their family or other caregivers in ways to stay home safely and be healthy in their own home setting.
I know myself, I have a lot of patients that I refer to home care, and the nurses, the other disciplines, the therapists, aides that are out there are an extension of my eyes and ears. They keep an eye on a patient where they can't get to my office that frequently, or that the home setting is really the best setting to do an observation and to see really what's going on. Are they complying with their medications? Are they able to take their medications? Can they afford medications? That's just one example of how home care services helps the doctor help you.
That's exactly right. I know the information that you might get at your office or that hospital discharge planners, other physicians receive is actually based on what the patient would like to share. And sometimes people are afraid to share certain aspects about their health care or their home situation. So once we get out there, we can really see what's happening and make recommendations to the physician about their wound or their home setting or their caregiver support or medications that we found, many different types of medications that you didn't know they were taking that we can help straighten out.
Let's go to the phone. I have Kay Marciano. She's the director of the Schofield Residence Long-Term Home Health Care Program. And I wanted to talk with Kay about what is the difference between a long-term home health care program and standard home care. And we'll also talk with Lisa a little bit more about that later. Kay, are you there?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi, Kay. Thanks for joining us. And so can you tell us exactly how does long-term home health care differ from a standard home health care program?
Well, the long-term home health care program, otherwise known as the nursing home without walls, is considered a less costly alternative to institutional care. And a patient needs to be medically eligible for care in a nursing home or healthcare related facility. And what happens in that is we are able to maybe give a broader range of services than a short-term or certified agencies. Some of our services might include Meals on Wheels or social daycare to give the caregiver a chance, a break. The patient would go out during the day and the caregiver would be able to attend to their own well-being while the patient's out. So besides the nursing, and we do have a nurse as a case manager, and we can provide therapy and different things like that, we do have a few extra things.
How does someone typically come to your program and get enrolled in it?
Well, usually they're referred to us either through CASA, which is the County Department of Social Services, or maybe a hospital, or even they can refer themselves. They'll call us and inquire about home care. And what we have to do is we have to go out and assess the patient and make sure we'll do a comprehensive assessment of their health, their social and environmental needs to determine if they are eligible for our program.
Now, what are the criteria? There are monetary criteria. There needs to be, I believe, someone at home as well. Can you go through that? What are the basic requirements for a long-term home health program?
Well, through for the Medicaid division of the long-term home health care program, yes, they do have to be eligible for Medicaid. And that's something the Department of Social Services will determine if they are eligible. And then we would have to go out and do a joint assessment with the Department of Social Services and see that we have a scoring tool and to see if they do meet the criteria to be medically eligible for a skilled nursing or health-related facility.
So these would be people that otherwise would be struggling to manage at home and really would be best served by being in a nursing home to meet their health care needs.
Right, right. They want to stay home, but maybe they just need a little help. They we do like them to have a family backup or a friend, someone that can help them, but we're able to maybe give them just that little bit extra so they are able to stay in the community and not have to give up their independence and be
Now besides Medicaid, are there any other payers, insurance companies that would pay for those services?
We are able to accept Medicare, different other insurances, Medicare, maybe Univera, but that usually is on a short-term basis.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for joining us today, and we're going to continue our discussion. I hope you listen in, and if you like, call in to add any other comments you think are going to be helpful.
Okay, great.
Thanks again, Kay.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, that was Kay Marciano. She's the director of Schofield Residence Long-Term Home Healthcare Program. Lisa, the VNA also has a long-term home health care program. Can you add anything to what Kay said?
Kay certainly did a great job. Our program covers clients in Erie County and Niagara County. And as she said, it's really a nice way for people who need that little bit extra long-term types of care needs to keep them out of a nursing home. We can link them up with an adult day program, such as we have two adult day programs ourselves, DeGraff and Amherst Adult Daycare, the personal emergency response system, Meals on Wheels, things that people might need, that just little that extra bit to keep them safe and connected at home.
Now, just one last question for you, and then it's going to be a nice segue over to Marilyn, because we're talking about case management now. Do you feel that everyone who can benefit from both long-term services and home health care services are taking advantage of it?
Absolutely not. There are a lot of people out there, I think, who think that they would need to have a gaping wound or an amputation or a serious illness to require home care services, when in fact there are many of our elderly people who have been followed up with their physician, but as we mentioned, are taking multiple medications and need some education on that. There may be patients who are on the surface quite stable coming out of a hospital setting, but again, we don't know exactly what that home care situation looks like. They may need some therapy at home to make sure that they have the proper equipment to maneuver about their home safely and adequately. We really believe there are a lot of people who are not receiving home care services who really should.
Well, I know I just referred a patient I saw last week with a small wound. Went through the skin, but not a gaping wound, certainly, but I referred her to home care because that small wound is what happens on the way to that gaping wound.
Exactly.
And you want to nip it in the bud, and this patient certainly couldn't have taken care of it by herself. And even if a nurse went in and could teach a family member how to do it, you still need the expertise of a nurse, a healthcare professional, to know exactly what's the best way to treat and prevent and to ensure the healing of something like that. Now, one big thing that seems to be coming out of long-term home health care and home health care in particular is that it's a case management. It's trying to assess the overall needs of someone at home and put in place services that are necessary. Now, Marilyn, you've been involved with that. You're at Coordinated Care, and the name in and of itself indicates a case management and coordination of care. CASA was mentioned by Kay. Tell us a little bit about the services you offer, and we're going to talk about the complementary services, information and referral, the telephone assurance program that you're very involved with, and anything else that you feel would be helpful to share.
Okay. One of the things that I ask when a person calls in is a little bit about their financial situation. And we were talking about this at Spot Coffee, that people sometimes are a little reluctant calling in to discuss.
All great things happen at Spot Coffee, I guess.
Yes. And they're a little hesitant to discuss their finances. But for those of us who work in the field, knowing a little bit about a person's finances or background helps us determine where we go to access services for them. For instance, if a person has been a veteran, we have a lot of World War II vets who are entitled to adult daycare, who get help with their medications. So that would be one of the questions that we would ask. For information and referral, we would ask about income. And if we saw that they were Medicaid eligible, and many people do not realize that they are, or they may be embarrassed to apply for Medicaid, we would refer them to senior services who could help them complete a Medicaid application, or if they have a specific illness, I might refer them to the MS Society for help, or to one of the other...
the American Lung Association, certainly...
Well, I don't know if they do Medicaids, but I know Health Association, okay. Not every organization does, but Mental Health Association would offer assistance.
Okay.
I would also find out if they would be a candidate for our TAP program, because so many seniors...
And TAP stands for?
For the Telephone Assurance Program, and that is a free, friendly phone call every single day, twice a week, once a week, however frequently the member wants to receive a call. It provides socialization. It's a wonderful service, especially when someone's spouse has just been placed in a nursing home or perhaps is, you know, going to be in the hospital and rehab for a while when a spouse passes on. This is that friendly phone call every single day. We had one member call in recently to say that the telephone assurance program saved her life. She said she was in her chair near the telephone, was feeling ill, and at that time, the volunteer who calls her regularly made a call. And she told them how ill she was feeling. The volunteer asked her a few questions and said, "Hang up, I'm calling 911. The woman was taken to the hospital and called me a couple weeks later to say, "I want you to know that this service saved my life." Wow. And it's free. Doesn't cost a dime.
Now, can anyone get that? Do you have to be Medicaid eligible? Or
no, you can be any income. All you have to be is over 60, living alone in Erie County. So it's a completely free program and not based on your income. The other thing that happens with the TAP program, the volunteers who make the calls are trained not just to socialize. I mean, and certainly they do. We try to match people with similar interests. If we have a man who likes fishing, we'll try to find a volunteer who likes fishing. Or if someone watches birds, we'll find a caller who also likes to watch birds. But the other thing our callers do is to ask a few questions, and if they realize that that senior needs services, they will refer them to us or to other agencies so that they can access those services. Sometimes you will find that a person can't afford food. Their medication bills may be high. Actually, they might be Medicaid eligible and not know it. So if they get a call to us, we'll make that referral. If they need a food pantry, we'll refer them there. We ask them if they have a personal emergency response system. We have lists in the office of providers of the PERS and of provider agencies that send out home health aides and nurses.
We the can PERS is the personal emergency response.
And any of the other services. Sometimes they just need someone to help with chores, and we have agencies that will do chore service. They might need Meals on Wheels. They might need adult day. They might be considering moving to a different level, say assisted living or adult home. And another thing that we do are legal referrals. We have a lot of seniors who are caring for an adult child with a developmental disability. And the senior may be in their late 80s and realize that they're nearing the end of their life, and what are they going to do now to provide care for this adult child? So we have several agencies, legal services for the elderly, volunteer lawyers, neighborhood legal services, where we would do a referral. We also have a list of elder care attorneys. But, you know, we would refer them maybe to a place where they would help them establish a guardianship for this adult child, guide them through looking for a group home, and while they may be very frightened to let go, we will say to them, wouldn't it be better if you get this in place now? So if you don't like the decision, you can make the necessary changes so that when the time comes, you know that your adult child is going to be in a good situation.
We spoke about advance directives on a previous show, and this is a different kind of advance directives that we don't always think about. Jimmy's signaling me. I'm not sure what he's signaling. Why don't you just tell me? I guess hands off the mic. Okay, we'll all get our hands off the mic. Now, I have a couple of questions, Marilyn. The, how long do these phone calls last? And do the people who talk on the phone, do they become friends? Do they ever meet each other?
We don't encourage the telephone assurance volunteers to meet the members. It's strictly a telephone friendship. our volunteers, and we hope anyone out there listening who would like to be a volunteer or member will call our 858-2307 number. We don't want them to have the responsibility of reminding people to take medications or to be in a position where they feel imposed upon to run errands or do things like that. It's strictly a telephone friendship.
Okay, and how long do they typically last, the phone calls?
It depends on the individual. Some people are very chatty, and you may find someone who, you know, they'll talk regularly and maybe go on for a half an hour or an hour. Some are very brief. We even have special situations where we have members who make the call themselves. I have a man who has diabetes, and he lives alone in an apartment but doesn't know the people who live around him. And he asks, can he place a call every single morning? We come in, and there is the message from the gentleman on the phone to say that he's up and he's okay for the day. And if that call is not on my voicemail, then I call him, or Michelle calls him, and we just check to make sure he's okay. And if we can't reach him, there's always an emergency contact, so we might call the building manager in his case. Or for everyone in the program, we might have their adult children or a neighbor, so that if that volunteer can't reach them, they call the emergency contact or they call us, and we do some checking so we don't have to have 911 breaking down the door. But it's mainly just a friendship, some socialization, and in Buffalo winters, it's a wonderful program when there's a lot of snow.
Sure.
Someone calling to say, do you have heat in the house today,
right,
and do you have food?
Well, we're going to do some role-playing and go through some more stories about actual experiences that you've had. We have coordinated care, well represented by Marilyn Green. I'll give you that number again, 858-2307, and the VNA with Lisa Greisler. I've been working on the name, but I think I have it down. Lisa Greisler, and 630-8000. We're going to take a short break. I also want to give the call-in phone number. We'd love to have your calls, 855-6848. We'll take a short break and come back and cover a whole slew of information that I hope we can fit in the remaining half hour. Stay on the line, stay on the air, and give us a call, get rid of the call, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
I am from Germany. Enjoyed myself in Atlantic City. I've been to all of the great countries. Now I'm living like a king down in Germany. Just talking about, oh, 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 singing about, oh, 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 no matter which part of the world I roam. Little Nassau is my happy home. Talking about, oh, 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 I'm singing about, oh, 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 no matter which part of the world I roam.
Mama is my happy home.
I love the land, I love the fun, I love the taste of the bitter rum. I love the people of this country, but they're
Okay, this is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? If you didn't recognize the group, it's the Baha Men. Home Sweet Home was the name of that song, the Baha Men of Who Let the Dogs Out fame. I thought it was a cute little song to play for today's show. We're back to talking about home care services for older adults with my two guests, Lisa Greisler of the VNA Visiting Nursing Association and Marilyn Green of Coordinated Care. Again, many thanks to the VNA for sponsoring today's program. The phone number again for your calls, 855-6848. Now, a few things I want to cover that we didn't touch on. I want to go through each typical discipline in home care and basically what they do, and also how you bring someone in, establish a plan, and then how you know when home care is over. So I'll go to you, Lisa, and maybe you can kind of capsulize all that for us.
I'll try. It's a lot. But for skilled nursing, we do a very comprehensive assessment of the patient in their home. We look at everything from their physical needs, their family support. As Marilyn said, finance is an important factor to look at as far as how to link people. Their functional status, of course, is a huge thing because we want to make sure people are able to maneuver about in their home and take care of themselves safely. So after we've completed our assessment, physical assessment, we speak with the patient and the patient's physician about what we think we can do for this person and what our goals are. So we would establish that plan together.
Well, let's take it as a specific example, and I'll let you pick a patient scenario where that person would be plugged in pretty much with every discipline, and maybe someone who had a stroke that went to the hospital because of paralysis, weakness on one side, was diagnosed with a stroke, and now it's time to come home, and they have speech problems. They have trouble walking, though they have progressed a little bit in the hospital and getting back some strength in their weakened leg. They have some trouble eating. Eating's an issue as well. And they lived alone, but they do have a family member that can come over from time to time to help out. So with that, what would home care do for them?
Really, every discipline could be involved in a situation like this. The nurse would most likely be monitoring vital signs, medication management, nutrition, skin, of course, with someone who has reduced mobility. Their skin is an important thing for us to assess. And working with the physician on medication management and all those various things, making sure they're stable physically. The physical therapist and occupational therapist would be working on mobility and improvement in their activities of daily living. How can we make them independent?
So, and what's an activity of daily living? This is what, that's a term we use all the time.
Right, and they are the basics of life. It's being able to bathe yourself, dress yourself, getting to and from the toilet, eating, all those really important functions.
Cooking, mm-hmm. Eating. Using the phone,
using the toilet, shopping, everything.
Managing like finances.
Of course.
Right. Okay.
And our physical therapist would look for how safe are they in their home, what equipment might they need, what exercise program would they need. The occupational therapist might look at assistive devices. Maybe they need a reacher or something to help with their back. We could pull in the home health aide to provide that personal care assistance, working with the physical and occupational therapist to regain that independence. People want to be independent and taking care of their personal needs. A social worker might be needed. Maybe their finances have changed now, or they're going to have continuing care needs. Maybe we would call in a community agency. Maybe a telephone insurance program would be appropriate for this person who might be living alone.
Also to coordinate family members that are going to help.
Absolutely.
Right.
We bring in the whole family to take care of that whole home situation.
Dietitian?
Yes, of course. With our speech therapists, of course, we use our dietitians all the time for different nutritional supplements. People who might have tube feeds, this person might now have a tube feeding and need some assistance on that. And the nutritionist really comes in with helping the doctor determine the correct calorie level for them.
And pastoral care. What about that? How do you handle faith support?
Well, hospice is a program that includes pastoral care really as part of their overall particular program.
Okay, and this wouldn't be particularly a hospice scenario.
Right, but it's important to us and it's important to the patient. So that's part of our assessment is what is their faith, how connected are they to that, would they like their clergy person to come visit, sometimes just making that phone call to their parish.
And that might be the
a whole bunch of support services that way. Maybe somebody comes and provides a meal or does their housekeeping for them or what have you.
And that might be the social worker helping to coordinate that.
Yep.
And hospice, certainly in cases where someone was diagnosed with a terminal disease and did not want anything done because of their advanced age, mm-hmm. and any treatment would be worse than not doing something, and then certainly the home care agency would try and hook that person up with the hospice
Absolutely.
Program.
Absolutely. We do a lot of referral with hospice.
Now, I spoke earlier with Anne-Marie McIsaac, who's the president of the Parish Nursing Institute of Western New York, and this is quite a vibrant entity that a lot of people don't know about. But it's an entity, an organization that has nurses that work in conjunction with religious leaders, the pastors, the rabbis, the imams of local religious institutions, the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, and help the religious leader help patients, help congregants with healthcare needs. And though they don't perform the duties that a nurse in a home care nursing scenario would do, they act more like what Marilyn does at Coordinated Care, provide that information and referral. And they go to the hospital, they go to nursing homes, they go into people's homes. And what experience have either one of you, Marilyn, with the parish nurses?
Well, actually, I did a program for them on community resources, some training right before Christmas, and I get referrals from more and more churches to go out and do programs to let seniors know what services might be available to them. And when I have a client who needs some special service, maybe they need someone to shop, maybe they need some minimum transportation, I always ask them if they have a faith community, because more and more we're finding with county cuts in funding that we sometimes have to turn to churches to get those little extra services. Maybe a church has a van and they're willing to pick someone up, or maybe they will have someone who will make a visit to the home. And the Network of Religious Communities has a wonderful book, a food pantry listing by zip code. And oftentimes, seniors may not be able to afford groceries if they're paying for medication. Maybe they're not quite Medicaid eligible, and they're kind of in a tight situation. And we have this food pantry book, so I'll make referrals. And actually, Coordinated Care had done a study with churches a couple of years ago, and we found that pastors are much more likely to be aware of the health needs of their congregation members and to encourage them to get help and also to follow up a little bit. There's a lot of grassroots efforts going on. Gretchen Fearley's group, they had 50 faith-based groups providing health checks like blood pressure. There's also a free health clinic supported by a church. Churches are doing a lot.
Well, it's mm-hmm. interesting how you said how the pastors and the religious leaders are often more aware of health problems of the congregants. They see them every Sunday, every Saturday, whatever day the holiday might arise or whenever people come for services. I suspect that many of them know firsthand more about the health of these people than the person's doctor might even really have a good feel for what's going on. So that tie-in, I think, that grassroots, I think I've said several times on the show that I'm very interested in grassroots efforts, getting patients themselves, older people themselves, caregivers, to be responsible, to take ownership of their own health with help from the healthcare community, to give them the tools, to give them the assistance to identify what issues are out there, to identify what resources are out there. And that's what you two are here for today. And the religious community now is, and has been for many years, but there's a formal effort along those lines that I believe is growing. And I think through all of this, this is really the way to get at people's health, rather than a top down where the ivory tower of the hospital runs healthcare. We're all trying to do it from the bottom up, identifying a patient's true needs and going from there through a comprehensive assessment and putting together a good game plan. How do you see that playing out, and where are we going from here in terms of healthcare and home care and grassroots efforts?
Well, you talked about, you know, the goals of home care, and really our goal for our organization is to be able to provide people with the information that they need in order to be able to manage themselves safely in their own home. So that's our effort, is to educate people, give them the information about their medication. How do I manage my wound? I'm going to have this disease for the rest of my life. What information do I need to know about a complication or a symptom that's important to call the doctor for? Where do I call? What other resources are out there in the community? Providing them with that linkage so that they can know when to take some action instead of waiting and having a serious complication before they see their physician again. But that is our goal, is to keep them as independent as possible through providing information, services, and linkage.
Marilyn?
And I would say that's coordinated care's goal. We try to give them all the information that they need, refer them to appropriate services that are available through the established channels, and then when we are lacking a service, to reach out to the faith community or be creative. And in this economy, there are many people stepping up to the plate. A couple of organizations have now told me that they will offer their van for transportation to three hospitals if there's a senior within a certain zip code area. And I think there will be more of a grassroots effort. Certainly now we have the hospice campus, which will be opening up in the city, and, you know, through a church and free health clinics.
Do you see any reason why someone out there who's living alone or might be living with someone else should not be able to access any of these things, or have to live alone in need of health care and in need of just the basics? Is there any reason someone would have to do that, or is it someone thinks they're alone, that they're the only one with that problem, they don't want to bother anyone, or they just don't know where to turn?
I think a lot of it is people don't know where to turn. A lot of our seniors they've been independent for so long, and I think it's difficult for them to say, well, I really do need some help now. And even younger family members who call in about their parents have no idea where to get help. They may be a very educated person, but when it comes to health services for a parent, they will call me usually in a state of crisis. They may be crying on the phone. They have no idea where to turn. And really, no matter what their circumstances are, there are always at least a few things that we can do to help, you know, refer them to services where they might have that paid through one of the normal channels. And as we were talking before, sometimes seniors want to hold on to their resources. They may not be Medicaid eligible. They're hanging on to those resources for a rainy day.
The rainy day syndrome that was also discussed at Spot Coffee.
Yes, and we have to tell them that rainy day has come. And often getting a provider agency in, like the VNA or one of the agencies, putting in those services can keep the well spouse healthy, because you may have, you know, this elderly couple, one has a stroke, needs a whole lot of care, or they get Alzheimer's, and the spouse is so drained that you're at risk of placing two people in a nursing home, or one passing away because they're providing so much care. There is support. They just need to call and find out how to access those services.
I've said this before, that in my practice, I treat as much the family and the caregivers as much as I do my patients, and all of us in senior care do that as well. And if you don't treat it as a family practice, then you're not going to be doing the job that needs to be done. And you could have two people that are going to get sick and sicker, and have the situation consume them. Mm-hmm. Once again, Coordinated Cares number 858-2307, the VNA Visiting Nursing Association 630-8000. You can also call me at 636-7531. If you're not sure who to call, call me. I can also send you copies of the CD of this show or previous shows. I'm happy to do that for you. I'm doing this show. If it helps one person out there, then I'm glad I did the show. Let's get into some more specific situations. We talked about a stroke patient coming out of a hospital. Let's talk about someone with dementia. And this is an increasing problem, as we all know. And how does a home care agency, how does a care coordination, information and referral agency deal with someone in the middle throes of a moderate dementia, someone with dementia?
Well, again, that comprehensive assessment in the home now really involves the family, because we need to get the most appropriate information from the family members, from the patient, from the physician, to be able to set up that care plan. And there are a lot of instances where we really need to connect with community agencies, because now you really are treating the patient as well as the family in this instance, because it's such a devastating illness. So we do a lot with medication management with these patients. They may need some psychiatric intervention with the physician. The family needs all sorts of support. Our social workers come in here to help with some counseling and some long-term planning for the families in these instances. Sometimes referral to our adult daycare center provides that little bit of respite for the family. And we have some specialized folks who work with our dementia patients at our adult daycare centers.
And upcoming in the next couple of months, I do plan to tap Schofield Residence, another program they have, an adult day healthcare program. There are different kinds of daycare programs. Now, what about people that have had hip and knee replacements, elective replacements?
Those are nice success stories.
Those are the nice things. People go in, they have arthritis in their hip or knee, it's causing pain, they're not able to get around the way they used to, they have the surgery, and what happens from there?
Well, from there, this is great. We have a wonderful PT department, and
PT is
physical therapy.
Okay.
Our therapists go out. Sometimes the nurse is involved as well. They may have a small incision that still needs a little bit of attention, or some other illness that the doctor would like us to monitor. But the therapist goes in and puts that patient on a exercise regimen that includes everything from how do you get in and out, on and off the toilet, how do you get in and out of your bed, and how do you get dressed, all keeping within the doctor's limitations, till the point where they are able to get up and down the stairs and out of their home again, and providing them with any adaptive equipment that they might need as well.
Any interesting stories, funny stories? Who's the oldest patient, perhaps, that you've had on program?
I couldn't say how old. There's lots of my own personal stories from when I was out in the field, but we have some great success stories. Just talking about people who live alone, a woman who had colon cancer. She was 90, lived alone, blind. Was able to manage perfectly well in her home by her, prior to her surgery, but now she has an ostomy, and she had
an ostomy is
it's like a colostomy. It's now an outlet for her waste, and needed help in applying this appliance, so she couldn't see it. We have specialized ostomy nurses who worked with the occupational therapist to come up with a device that would fit over the stoma, and she was able to place that ostomy device over independently, and she was able to stay in her home and take care of herself.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful story.
How about you, Marilyn?
Well, I would throw in just a little bit about another thing I would do for a referral would be for the Alzheimer's patient, I would refer them to the Alzheimer's Association for training. They have an overview of Alzheimer's. They have a class on dealing with difficult
behavior. That's the caregiver, especially.
Yes.
Right.
And also for the well spouse, I would refer them, if they had knee replacement or a stroke or something, I would refer them to the Red Cross has a hands-on training program to teach family members how to do transfer techniques, how to give a bed bath, things like that. There are a lot of wonderful training programs out there, and I, for all the agencies, we keep a running list in the office, whether it's the Parkinson's group or any special program. But a funny story, I guess one would be, just it was a heartwarming story. I had a wife who had cancer and had been caring for a husband with Parkinson's disease and dementia. And this woman had strength of character that was unbelievable. She had to go in for surgery for her cancer and called me about finding respite care, which is care on a temporary basis while a family member is ill or needs to go out of town. And so we found some respite for her husband while she was in the hospital, and she wasn't home 2 weeks after her surgery and called me to say she had been shoveling the driveway so the adult day van could get in to take him. And so I tried to find a volunteer out in her community from a youth organization to come and shovel. So
that's amazing. While we're talking about caregiver programs, I did get in the mail a public service announcement from Erie County Department of Senior Services. There's an ongoing program called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. It's a six-week series, and it's a wonderful program put together by wonderful people. It's helped hundreds of caregivers to do their very important job better. And the number to call for that is 858-2177, 858-2177.
And I have a schedule of their classes.
And we have an upcoming, there's a schedule of upcoming classes, and the next sequence is August 2nd through September 6th. It's going to take place at St. Gregory of the Great Roman Catholic Church in Williamsville. But call 858-2177 for more information about that. Let's just want to get a little bit into the specialized, state-of-the-art kinds of things that are going on with home care. Was that a phone call, Jimmy? We have a phone call. Let's take the phone call. Hello, this is Dr. Stahl.
Doctor, this is Pete in Lewiston. How are you?
Good. Very good. Now, what can we do for you?
My question is really relative to some continuity of care. We've got upcoming a couple of family members who are going to be in need of home care. These folks are also part-time residents in the state of Florida. So they're going to be up here, obviously, for a time, and then they're going to be going back down to Florida, if it's still there, for the winter months. And I presume they will not be 100% confined to their home, so they'll be able to do this. How are the links handled, let's say, down there to tie into another
right,
home healthcare agency, another physician, and how's the family in Buffalo kept appraised of what's going on with the doctor down there or
right.
the agency down there, and you know, as well as the primary care physician appeared and how the records handled confidentiality and everything else concerned.
Right. That's a very interesting question. There are a lot of snowbirds that are coming and going. And by the way, I hope Florida is still here because my parents live down there, and I'm headed there myself in a couple of weeks. Well, I'll let the experts handle that.
I'll tell you what, let me hang up and let you guys address this.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
And please, if you want to talk more, if we don't answer your question, please call one of the numbers, okay, that I've given on the show, Coordinated Care, 858-2307 and VNA 630-8000 for more information. But thanks for calling.
Thank you.
That's an easy answer for me to do, because part of the VNA, we are part of a larger group of visiting nursing associations across the country, and we work together. Even though we are separate organizations, we work together and often have patients who are back and forth between here and Florida. It's very simple. We can make referrals to each other or another home care agency of their choice. We coordinate with their local physician. We can share our orders and their records, of course, with their release. Even things as complex as infusion therapy, we're able to link with the pharmacy either down there or when they come up here to continue their infusion medications, their IVs, and respiratory. That's a big one. People need their oxygen. So we're able to do those links very simply.
So if they currently have home care services, who should they speak with to get that ball rolling, whether it's VNA or some other agency?
If they were coming from Florida to here, they can call our regular number, 630-8000, and then we will connect with their physician or their provider in their other state, and we'll make the arrangements.
Okay. Marilyn?
There are a couple of things that I would advise a person to do. And number one is to check their insurance coverage very carefully. And if they need some legal advice about that issue, they can call Legal Services for the Elderly at 853-3087, or they could call Bill Daniels at the Department of Senior Services, and that number is 858-8526.
Now, this is Lewiston. I believe he said he was calling from Lewiston.
Oh, and then he would have to call Niagara County Legal Aid. Just to make sure, to have someone look over the health insurance policy to make sure that they can go from state to state. The other thing that we do frequently is we'll have someone with family members in Florida and some crisis occurs down there. We go online and find them a certified geriatric care manager in that particular zip code area. It isn't a person that we know, but it is a person with credentials, and they can often step in. We had a very interesting case where there were two senior parents who became ill about the same time. Neighbors were calling the adult children up here, and one daughter flew down, and we did get them a geriatric care manager. And the first daughter brought a parent home, and then the next daughter went down and brought the other one home. They were both flown back, and we worked with a nursing home that had an ambulance meet them at the airport, and we got them into a facility that had both skilled nursing and assisted living, so that when one improved, they could go into the assisted, and then the next one could follow to help. So it takes a lot of coordination, but it's very doable.
Yeah, the geriatric case manager, care manager, generally there's a fee involved. And once again, you could save the money for the rainy day, or you could spend a little bit to really relieve a tremendous burden from yourself as a caregiver. Lisa?
Absolutely. We're in the process also of developing our geriatric case management program specifically, as you identified it. But right now, we work with other agencies, so we can link people into that. And sometimes it is the best thing for a patient to do, is actually spend that money to make sure that all things are being handled, including finances.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Unfortunately, we can go on and talk about a lot of things. Thanks so much to my guests, and once again to the VNA for sponsoring the show. The phone numbers I've given several times, so 630-8000 VNA, 858-2307 is coordinated care. My number is 636-7531. Next month's show will be August 8th, 2005 at 3 p.m. right here on WHLD 1270 AM. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. See you then.
The Red Cross has a hands-on training program to teach family members how to do transfer techniques, how to give a bed bath, things like that. There are a lot of wonderful training programs out there, and I, for all the agencies, we keep a running list in the office, whether it's the Parkinson's group or any special program. But a funny story, I guess one would be, just was a heartwarming story. I had a wife who had cancer and had been caring for a husband with Parkinson's disease and dementia. And this woman had strength of character that was unbelievable. She had to go in for surgery for her cancer and called me about finding respite care, which is care on a temporary basis while a family member is ill or needs to go out of town. And so we found some respite for her husband while she was in the hospital, and she wasn't home 2 weeks after her surgery and called me to say she had been shoveling the driveway so the adult day van could get in to take him. And so I tried to find a volunteer out in her community from a youth organization to come and shovel. So
that's amazing. While we're talking about caregiver programs, I did get in the mail a public service announcement from Erie County Department of Senior Services. There's an ongoing program called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. It's a six-week series, and it's a wonderful program put together by wonderful people. It's helped hundreds of caregivers to do their very important job better. And the number to call for that is 858-2177, 858-2177.
And we have a schedule of their classes.
And we have an upcoming, there's a schedule of upcoming classes, and the next sequence is August 2nd through September 6th. It's going to take place at St. Gregory of the Great Roman Catholic Church in Williamsville. But call 858-2177 for more information about that. I just want to get a little bit into the specialized, state-of-the-art kinds of things that are going on with home care. Was that a phone call, Jimmy? We have a phone call. Let's take the phone call. Hello, this is Dr. Stahl.
Doctor, this is Pete in Lewiston. How are you?
Good. Very good. Now, what can we do for you?
My question is really relative to some continuity of care. We've got upcoming a couple of family members who are going to be in need of home care. These folks are also part-time residents in the state of Florida. So they're going to be up here obviously for a time, and then they're going to be going back down to Florida, if it's still there, for the winter months. And I presume they will not be 100% confined to their home, so they'll be able to do this. How are the links handled, let's say down there, to tie into another healthcare agency, another physician, and how's the family in Buffalo kept appraised of what's going on with the doctor down there, or the agency down there, and you know, and, as well as the primary care physician up here, and how the records handle confidentiality and everything else concerned?
Right, that's a very interesting question. There are a lot of snowbirds that are coming and going. And by the way, I hope Florida is still here, because my parents live down there, and I'm headed there myself in a couple of weeks. Well, I'll let the experts handle that.
I'll tell you what, let me hang up and let you guys address this.
Yeah,
thank
and
you
please,
very much.
And please, if you want to talk more, if we don't answer your question, please call one of the numbers, okay, that I've given on the show, Coordinated Care, 858-2307 and VNA 63. 1-800-930-8000 for more information. But thanks for calling.
Thank you.
That's an easy answer for me to do, because part of the VNA, we are part of a larger group of visiting nursing associations across the country, and we work together. Even though we are separate organizations, we work together and often have patients who are back and forth between here and Florida. It's very simple. We can make referrals to each other or another home care agency of their choice. We coordinate with their local physician. We can share our orders and their records, of course, with their release. Even things as complex as infusion therapy, we're able to link with the pharmacy either down there or when they come up here to continue their infusion medications, their IVs, and respiratory. That's a big one. People need their oxygen. So we're able to do those links very simply.
So if they currently have home care services, who should they speak with to get that ball rolling, whether it's VNA or some other agency?
If they were coming from Florida to here, they can call our regular number, 630-8000, and then we will connect with their physician or their provider in their other state, and we'll make the arrangements.
Okay. Marilyn?
There are a couple of things that I would advise a person to do. And number one is to check their insurance coverage very carefully. And if they need some legal advice about that issue, they can call Legal Services for the Elderly at 853-3087, or they could call Bill Daniels at the Department of Senior Services, and that number is 858-8526.
Now, this is Lewiston. I believe he said he was calling from Lewiston.
Oh, and then he would have to call Niagara County Legal Aid. Just to make sure, to have someone look over the health insurance policy to make sure that they can go from state to state. The other thing that we do frequently is we'll have someone with family members in Florida and some crisis occurs down there. We go online and find them a certified geriatric care manager in that particular zip code area. It isn't a person that we know, but it is a person with credentials, and they can often step in. We had a very interesting case where there were two senior parents who became ill about the same time. Neighbors were calling the adult children up here, and one daughter flew down, and we did get them a geriatric care manager. And the first daughter brought a parent home, and then the next daughter went down and brought the other one home. They were both flown back, and we worked with a nursing home that had an ambulance meet them at the airport, and we got them into a facility that had both skilled nursing and assisted living, so that when one improved, they could go into the assisted, and then the next one could follow to help. So it takes a lot of coordination, but it's very doable.
Yeah, the geriatric case manager, care manager, generally there's a fee involved. And once again, you could save the money for the rainy day, or you could spend a little bit to really relieve a tremendous burden from yourself as a caregiver. Lisa?
Absolutely. We're in the process also of developing our geriatric case management program specifically, as you identified it. But right now, we work with other agencies, so we can link people into that. And sometimes it is the best thing for a patient to do, is actually spend that money to make sure that all things are being handled, including finances.
Well, that's all the time we have today, unfortunately. We can go on and talk about a lot of things. Thanks so much to my guests, and once again to the VNA for sponsoring the show. The phone numbers I've given several times, so 630-8000 VNA, 858-2307 is coordinated care. My number is 636-7531. Next month's show will be August 8th, 2005 at 3 p.m. right here on WHLD 1270 AM. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. See you then.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine?
If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?